Well, this is part two of our discussion from Bhagavatam, third canto, verses 6 through 10, about how grihasthas can learn to realize God. Well, Prabhupada would say that grihasthas should give up their house to the proprietorship of the Lord. The house belongs to Krishna, Lucky Bihari. Everything should be dedicated to his service. And then seeing everyone in the house as a servant of the Lord and seeing the whole house as his place of service and accepting everything favorable for his service, then one will be free from anxieties. So Prabhupada used to quote a song in this regard. He would often quote it in his preaching from Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Manasa deho geho joho kichu mor arpilo tuya pade nanda kishor maro bira kobi joicha tohara nitya dasa prati tuya adhikara kita janmaha jata tuya dasa bahir mukha brahma janme nahi asha manasa deho geho joho kichu mor. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, this is a song about Sharanagati, surrendering everything, taking shelter of the Lord. He said, manasa deho geho. He said, my manasa mind, my deho, my body, my geho, means my family, arpan, like we say, man, tan, dan, guru, tan, man, dan, guru, samarpan. Tan means body, man means mind, and dan means wealth. Similar idea, he's saying mind, body, and family, whatever it may be, mind, kichu, like we say, kichu jani. And bangla, kichu jani, bangla basha, kichu jani, little bit. I mean, say in Hindi, we say kuch, or kuch. Or kuch ne, yes. They say kichu, similar, it means little bit. So whatever little bit is mine, arpilu tuya pade, means arpan, I've offered it to your feet, Nandakishore, oh useful son of Nanda, Nandakishore, my body, my mind. So he's saying, my house, Prabhupada would often say, he would quote this, manasa deha geho. My house, my family, everything I have in my possession, my Lord. You are the proprietor of my body, you are the proprietor of my wife, you are the proprietor of my children and my house. My body, my wife, the body of my wife, my child, our children, and my house, it all belongs to you, my Lord. And they are all meant for your pleasure and for your service. So let us all cooperate together for the common cause of serving you. Everywhere center and nowhere circumference. But that's when you have a common center. But if it's my center, my wife center and husband center and children center, that's three circles. That means everywhere circumference and nowhere the center. Because yes, you have your circle and then that's circumference and another circle. But if everyone is the same circle, there's only one center. He says, slay me, marobi, rakobi, or as you wish. Slay me or protect me as you wish. For you are the master, and I am your eternal servant. Nityadasa prati tuya adhikar. You're the adhikar, you're the owner. Like we say in Hindi, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to kill me, no one can protect me. If Krishna wants to protect me, no one can kill me. Kita Janma Hal? It doesn't matter whatever happens to me, let me be Kita Janma. Kita means Kiya. And let me be born as an insect. It doesn't matter. But I have one condition. Bahir mukha brahma janme nahayash. I may be an insect as long as I remain your devotee. Tuya das. Afne das. Tamara das. I don't mind being an insect as long as I can be your devotee. Devotee insect. Bhakta bug. Bhakta bug. Bhakta cockroach. Bhakta chanti. Chanti. Sorry, Krishna. So he says, Bahir Mukha Brahma Janmi, but Nahinash, I have no desire, no aspiration to attain birth as Lord Brahma, because then my face may be turned away from you, or my four faces, Bhairamukh. So this is his mood of surrender. He's surrendering everything for the Lord. So Prabhupada's telling his purport here that this is the way that one can get free from anxieties, surrendering everything and one's family, home, and possessions to Krishna. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared, my Lord, because I've accepted your feet as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me. You have full authority over your eternal servant. If it is your wish that I be born again, then may I take birth in the home of your devotee. May I be born again even as a worm, as long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born as Brahma, averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you're my everything. Bhaktivinoda says, O Kana, please hear me, O Lord of Radha. You are my life and soul. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he mentions that he acknowledges the difficulties that come in household life. But he says that if one surrenders everything to the supreme control of the Lord, then he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Because of his surrender, he's no longer any attraction for wealth. Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. Thus the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties, as it is for the case of a worldly man. Because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth, and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world like an ordinary man. You see, I think it's in 11th Canto of Bhagavatam, explains that there's like 13 things that come from the accumulation of money. 13 different unwanted things. Anxiety, fear, so many things I forget. Increase of greed and worry and tension. Many, many things happen when one accumulates too much money. He's afraid of thieves, he's afraid of the tax man, anxiety how to spend it, and disturbed, and sleeplessness, he can't sleep. A devotee gets some money. Prabhupada said that a Brahmin, he may beg and collect a lakh of rupees or 2 lakhs of rupees in a day, and by the night he's distributed it. He's given it in charity. And he sleeps with a peaceful mind. He keeps a little bit aside for rice and dal and feed his family, then the rest he gives away, depending on the Lord, not stockpiling and stashing and going crazy. He has so much money, he forgets where his money is stashed. And he goes in anxiety. I thought I had this lack in the pillowcase. No, it's in the stash over here. So it just depends on the Lord. If we get money, then we immediately engage in Krishna's service. We don't think, oh, I have this money, what can I do with it? No, it's not mine. Krishna's a proprietor. He sent this money. I take my quota. Ishavasya midam sarvam yakichat jagatyam jagat. I accept whatever is my quota, whatever I need, minimal thing. And balance I distribute. Go seva, Brahman seva, Vaishnava seva, Thakurji seva. So Brahma is stating that those that do not chant and hear about the Lord, this is in verse, Canto 3, chapter 9, verse 8, they are truly unfortunate. These people who don't hear and chant about the Lord are overwhelmed by sensual desires and are entangled and controlled by illusion. It becomes impossible for them to overcome the perplexing miseries of life. I take pity on them and I'm very much aggrieved for them. So this is Brahma's compassionate heart being revealed in his words of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said that there are some symptoms of an intelligent man, and certainly Brahmaji, who is the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he's certainly an intelligent person. He has four brains. Four brains are better than one. Four heads, Chaturmukh, yes. Chamohan, and Saint Brajmas, Chamohan. But he's saying that if we're not hearing and chanting about the Lord, then we'll be overwhelmed by sensual desires and entangled and controlled by Maya, illusion, that which is not, the plane of misconception. This whole material world is misconception. It's a wrong idea. It's all based on the wrong idea. Misconception means wrong conception. Bad idea, wrong idea, false idea. What's the false idea? What's the misconception? That I'm God. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. I and mine. Everything is here for me, and I'm the center. I'm the center. I'm the enjoyer. And I'll manipulate the material nature in such a way to establish my kingdom of enjoyment and lord it over everyone, engage everyone in my pleasure service. This is a false idea. And everyone's operating under this false idea. So the entire material world is a whole plane, a whole platform, a whole area of misconstrued ideas or misconception, the plane of misconception. The Prabhupada is an intelligent person. He feels three things. He feels the suffering of. He feels that the sufferings of others are his own suffering. Matrivat paradwareshu. And he sees every other woman as his mother, except his wife. And then he sees others' wealth as just stool in the street. He has no envy or hankering for others' wealth. He says, oh, whatever. They have that, I have this. And then he sees others' wealth as just stool in the street, and sees every. And then he feels himself. These are the three things. These are the three characteristics of an intelligent man. So Brahma is showing this, that he's taking pity on these persons in Maya, and he's very much aggrieved for them. He's feeling very sorry for them. Well, this verse is actually, it's a Chanaka Pandit shloka from Niti Shastra. The Prabhupada often quote, Matrivat paradareshu paradravyeshu loshtravat atmavat sarvabhuteshu ya pashyati na panditaha. What is the Pandit Darshan? Pashyati panditaha. Pandit. What is manifest? What is seen? What is seen? How does a pundit see? Pundit is a learned man, wise man. What does he see? These are the three things he sees. One is matrivat paradareshu, which means he sees others' wives, dareshu, others' wives as his mother. One who sees others' wives as his mother, who sees all others' possessions as insignificant as a lump of clay. Paradravyeshu. Dravya means objects. Dravya. Articles, objects. Loshtravat. Loshtravat means clay, a lump of clay. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu. Who sees all living beings as himself. Such a person is considered learned. So this is feeling the seeing other living beings as himself. So he sees other people suffering, so he feels suffering. So this is Brahma's position here in the third canto. He's feeling other people's suffering to be his own suffering. So this is, we should also feel like that. There's a similar phrase that Prabhupada often would quote. I'm not sure the source. Atmavan manyate jagat. Atmavan. Van means the possession or the quality. In other words, one thinks of the universe as his own, like himself. Everyone thinks of others according to his own position. Everyone thinks of others in terms of himself, Atmanam, Manyate, thinking Jagat, the whole world. He thinks of the whole world just like himself. So someone is a thief, someone is a professional thief, and then he's moving with some person, he sees somebody moving out of a store kind of in a funny way, or, well, yeah, I think that person's a thief. And immediately, oh, I think this person's like, he's a greedy businessman. Because we're greedy businessmen. And so we may see everybody like that. Everybody's a greedy businessman. In this case, Brahma's taking pity on everyone. So now it goes on in text 11, chapter 9, that actually, this whole discussion here is, this is the next part, how the first thing is how the grihasthas can advance by trying to establish Krishna as a proprietor of their houses and their lives, and trying to work out their lives to center on Krishna. So in this particular section talks about a very popular verse from the Bhagavatam. This is in 3.9.11, which probably quote quite a bit. And this is, of course, Brahma's offering all these prayers to the Lord for creative power that he manifested on the lotus flower. Then he was a little ignorant, so he didn't remember how to create. Tam bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja ase shukichita pato nanonata pumsam ya yad yad yadiyat urugaya vibhava yanti tattad vapu pranayase saranugrahaya anugraha sat anugraha. Oh, he's asking for mercy. Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord, to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Oh my Lord, your devotee can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So this verse is often quoted, 3.9.11, as they manifest a particular form. Vibhav, vibhava yanti, tat tat vapu, pranayase. Tat tat vapu pranayase sanugrahaya. Because of your mercy, vibhav, vibhava yanti, the kind of meditation, dhyā. So the specific form, whatever form the devotee thinks of in his heart over and over again, then the Lord manifests that form. Hanumanji is always meditating on Ram in his heart, Sita and Ram, Lakshman. So then they manifest it there in his heart. And he showed that to others. So this verse, of course, has different applications. In level of Rag Bhakti, they often quote this verse to describe that we continually meditate in Rag Bhakti and our chosen Ishtadev, Radhan Krishna Yugal, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madhav, then that form that we're always meditating on, Bhanka Bihari, whomever, they will manifest in the heart when we're qualified to have their darshan. And this verse proves that simply by repeatedly meditating. So the point is that once a devotee's heart is cleansed by hearing, the Lord then will mercifully sit in the pure heart in the exact form in which the devotee had always thought of him. It's not that he shows Chaturbhuj Narayan. Dhruva Maharaj, he was in Madhuvan, in Vrindavan, 5-year-old sadhaka, young boy, very determined, very staunch, Dhruva. I think Dhruva means like that, staunch or determined, something like this. He was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, standing on one leg and holding his breath and controlling the whole breath in the universe, and not eating anything. But he was meditating on Chaturbhuj Narayan, Antaryami. Then Narayan came outside and appeared to him, the very form that he was meditating on. If we're meditating on Radha Madhava or Radha Govinda Yugal, the combined form of Radha Govinda, then that form will appear to us as our heart becomes purified. That's the form we're always thinking of. So Prabhupada in his purport, he describes the subjugation of the Lord by his devotee. And this is how you see that although the Lord is omniscient and omnipotent, he's Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Majami. Ham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvamurvatati Itimapa Pajantimam Buddha Bhava Samambita. That he's the source of everything, he's the creator of everything. Matak Sava Matak Purataram Nanyat Kinshadasti Dananja Mayasaram Idam Proktam Sutri Managanaiva. And everything, all the universe is all creation, is supported by the Lord, just like pearls are strung on a string, are supported by the string. Everything's existing on the support and the background of consciousness and the super consciousness or supreme consciousness is God consciousness or God, Krishna Himself. So He's a be-all and end-all in the creation of everything, cause of everything. But this verse is explaining how love, not power, controls God. It's a very interesting point. This verse, so this Prabhupada is explaining that in the purport, how the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees. So this is what this verse is saying, that the Lord agrees to appear out of his anugraha, sat anugrahaya. Anugraha means his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his love, anugraha. That you're always meant. Love, not power, controls God. So this Prabhupada is explaining that in the purport, how the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees. So this is what this verse is saying, that the Lord agrees to appear out of his anugraha, sat anugrahaya. Anugraha means his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his love, anugraha. That you're always, the devotee's always meditating on the Lord. Oh my Lord, when will I see you, when will I see you, when will I see you? This particular form has captivated me, has enchanted me. Trimbanga lalitam. Standing in threefold bending form, beautiful lotus eyes, long black wavy hair, and head tilted to the side and curved at your neck and your waist and your knee, playing the flute pressed to your lips under the Kadamba tree in the banks of the moon on the full moon night, and the beautiful sound coming from your flute, a cool breeze carrying the fragrance of lotus flowers, and moon rising over the horizon. So a very beautiful setting and form. So the Lord, he reciprocates because of the intense desire of the devotee to serve in a particular form. Shrutekshita. So this means, shruti means to hear. So this verse is telling, Brahma is telling that we the devotees of the Lord, they see the Lord through hearing. We see through the ears. Karmis, they see through the eyes. Dog sees through the nose. He sees the world by smell. He runs everywhere after the smell. But the devotee, enlightened devotee, he should see through the shastras. Shastra Chakshush. So this is Shrutekshita. To hear about Krishna from bona fide devotees who are free from mundane sentiment. By this, one becomes cleansed of all material rubbish. Prabhupada uses this word. The neophyte becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, which means anartha-nivritti. And thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord, as described in the Vedas. So this material rubbish is anartha-nivritti, and this is what happens with the holy name. This is the Kleshagni and Shubhada. That Shubhada means that the holy name bestows the auspicious form of the Lord upon a devotee. Kleshagni means all the abhadrani, inauspicious things, and anarthas are removed from the heart. and one becomes purified. So when, as one's chanting the holy name, he's simply meditating on the sound of the name, absorbing himself in the sound, transcendental sound vibration, chanting without any offenses, praying to the Lord, and time to time reflecting on the meaning of the holy name. And gradually the heart becomes purified and the form arises. From the name produces form, and he sees the form of the Lord when he chants. That form he sees in his heart. And the Lord manifests that form more and more prominently. So Prabhupada's purport, he goes on in text 9 to say, the attachment of a devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. So this whole purport, Prabhupada, is basically talking about the sarup, which you'll hear. This particular individual attachment that a devotee has for the Lord is invoked or revealed or brought out or understood by the practice of regulative devotional service, which means vaidhi sadhana bhakti. And thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord exactly like one who is already eternally attached. So the eternal, the nityaparishads, nityaparikars, the eternally eternal associates of the Lord, are in rati, bhav, and prem. They are attached fully to a particular form of Gopal Krishna or Gopinath or Yashodananda, depending on their bhav. So this is they're attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Sarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee. So this is ultimately at the level of bhav. One gets darshan of the Lord and prema. He gets repeated darshan as the Lord wills. And then he never loses his connection with the Lord. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gets some commentary. He's explaining here that, because the verse is just talking, Brahma is just talking here in his prayer, that devotees simply hear about the Lord, and then the Lord, they become purified in heart, chetadarpana marjanam, shinvatam swakata krishna punya shavana kirtana rdiyantakshta ibadrani virunati suritsatam. In the second canto of Bhagavatam, they become purified by Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. This Punya Shravana Kirtan, hearing and chanting, is very purifying and establishes the Lord in the heart. And the Lord purifies and cleanses the heart of the truthful devotee, Satam. Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Samvido. So in this verse, the Lord takes his seat there. And he's so merciful, the Lord, he's so merciful that he reciprocates the love. That's how we say love. I was saying here that love, not power, controls God. So we simply lovingly, out of affection and attachment and attraction, one meditates on the form of the Lord in the heart and says, oh, this form of Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna playing with the gopis, Krishna dancing with the gopis, swinging with the gopis. It's a very attractive form. So this is his mercy that he actually reveals that to the devotee. First, he, by simply hearing about the Lord, one can get so much purified that the Lord will appear there. So Vishnu says that even without knowledge, devotees can cross over the ocean of birth and death. From this verse, it's very clear that by devotion, such devotees make the Lord subservient. Due to their devotion, he's saying, due to their devotion, my Lord, you come unto the lotus of their hearts, and having come, you stay. That you do not go away has already been stated in the Bhagavatam earlier. Nai pashi nat. You are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So if someone even if he doesn't study all the Vedas, but he continues to be enchanted simply by the form of the Lord. Just like, for example, some man may see some form of some lady and he doesn't know anything about her. He's simply enchanted by her form. It's quite a common phenomenon. And so much beauty and sweetness and elegance and grace that she may manifest externally without ever hearing or speak or understand her. And he may become so enchanted that he thinks day and night of that person, that form. And but different, so that because of that beauty, it becomes enchanted and captures that form. But in this case, if the form is Krishna, one sees a particular form of the Lord, a deity or a painting, or even reads a description, a particular bodily description of Krishna and Vrindavan, how sweet and carefree and dressing like a dramatic actor and wearing simple adornments from the forest, Gunjamala and Malati Mala and Vajanti Mala and some mineral pigments painted on his face in different designs and flower earrings and flower necklaces and flower bracelets and flower belts and very simple, beautiful and natural, fragrant, soft forest decorations and ornaments. A crown made from various leaves and feathers and peacock feathers. And may that sight may capture his heart and repeatedly meditates and becomes that becomes a very favorite form of his, and he's always thinking of that form. He can't forget that form. Then the Lord will be so pleased that he'll enter there in the heart and he'll cleanse the heart just by that, without studying all the Vedas, without going through all the Shruti, Smriti, Puranas. And the person will become very highly elevated in devotion, become very pure. So Vishnath goes on to say that the path to reach the Lord is first hear from the Guru's mouth, Guru Mukh, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Excuse me. The path to reach you, my Lord, is first heard from the Guru's mouth and then seen and perceived directly. So first we hear about this process of bhakti and hear about these aspects of attainment, and then we practice and we personally attain. By that same path, hearing from one's guru, you enter into the lotus of their hearts. What devotees have heard from the guru's mouth, they perfectly ascertain the exact way of practicing sadhana bhakti. Even without hearing, your devotee fixes his mind on a particular form of yours in meditation, you then manifest that exact form. So it says, even without hearing about the Lord, that's what we're saying. You haven't heard, it's like this beautiful girl, you just see her and you fix the form. You never heard anything, you don't know anything about her qualities or activities or anything. So therefore, that's why he's saying that Grihasthas can, without hearing and knowing actually about the Lord, they can realize God. Because seeing God in the heart, it means realizing God. Those practicing devotees, by their intelligence, meditate on a certain form according to their particular mood, and you manifest that exact body for them, which is their siddhadeha, their body of perfection, making them attain it in all its splendor. Oh, how submissive to your devotees you are. This is the purport. See, this verse, this part of the purport here, on 3.9.11, is from Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. And this is what those acharyas that often write about Raghunuga Bhakti, or they comment on Narottam Das Thakur's Prem Bhakti Chandrika. Because it says that the devotee, whatever particular form he meditates on, they take it. Like this translation says, the particular form of the Lord they meditate on, that form you manifest in the heart of the devotee. Now another interpretation of this verse is whatever particular form that the devotee always meditates on over and over again, that siddhadeya, which is the individual devotee siddhadeya, you give them that. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So this is a similar verse. So this is what's being indicated here. So it said the practicing devotees, they meditate on a certain form, it doesn't say of you, It's a certain form according to their particular mood. So if the devotees in the mellow, seva mellow, or seva bhav, of Manjri Bhav or Sakhi Bhav, or he wants to serve Radha and Krishna as a palidasi, protected maidservant of Radharani, Radhadasyam, as a Pran Sakhi, Nitya Sakhi, or Manjri, and he's always thinking about that form, oh, it would be nice if I could move in that circle of Rati Manjri and Rupa Manjri and Kamala Manjri and Nayanamani Manjri, my Param Guru, and Prabhupada must be Manjri also. If I could move in and cooperate and serve under their guidance, Anugatya, on that level of the spiritual world in my Siddhadeya, that would be a most desirable Siddhadeya for me. I would like to have that form. And we become attracted. Then it's saying that you manifest that exact body for them, which is their Siddhadeya, their body of perfection, making them obtain it in all its splendor. Oh, how submissive you are to your devotees. This is the purport. So it can be taken in two ways, this verse 3.9.11. Oh, I'm captivated by the Lord, and I'm meditating in this form, and He shows that form. Or it can be in three ways. It happens like that, and then I'm also meditating that form, and I want to serve Him in also a form in this particular bhav. Madhura Rati, conjugal mood, or Sakhi Rati, friendly mood, or Vatsalya Rati, like a parent. Because these are the basic bhavas. Ratis are attachments and love in Vrindavan, Brajadam. So this verse is showing this point, that the even Grihasthas, without developing intense spiritual knowledge, can make tremendous spiritual advancement by simply meditating on the Lord and meditating on their form that they would like to serve the Lord in. Of course, that desire to serve the Lord in a particular form doesn't come till one becomes purified, generally to the level of a sakti, attachment. One begins to have some clear indication of the individual way or mood in which one wants to serve the Lord at a sakti. Then after a sakti comes bhav, and then prema. And in bhav, one actually directly realizes siddhadeya. Either guru awards directly, or the holy name reveals, or bhakti devi or yogamaya, or one of the resonants of the spiritual world can shine their Vishuddha Sattva Shakti, their Surup Shakti, on the heart of the deserving, on the heart of the deserving and desirous sadhaka. At that level of attainment and development, is at the level of a sakti or a bhav and bhava, then they will show their mercy, anugraha, and reveal their siddhadeya and ekadash bhav, 11 symptoms of their spiritual body. It will come down, avaroha panta. It will descend. The guardians from above, they will invite us there. They will bring us there, uplift us to there. Or the guru will see our sincere attainment, and if he's of that caliber, the highly realized guru who can see the siddhadeya of the disciple in the spiritual world, then he will tell the specific nature according to the necessity and qualification of the sincere disciple. So, any questions on this point?
Yes, you mentioned even the Vyavasthas, the question is, without following any Vedic Bhakti Sadhana, even then they can realize or the Lord Nityananda, they're not just contemplating Krishna and centering it, can you say?
Well, I mean, these prayers and these purports here by Prabhupada, he's trying to emphasize in this section of the Bhagavatam about the mercy of the Lord, how merciful the Lord is. And the basic point is that, of course, this whole idea we said here is that in the first part, we were saying that one surrenders, so Sharanagati. This, of course, is one of the limbs of bhakti. This is bhakti. Bhakti is Guru Parashraya, surrendering, Sharanagati, taking shelter, and there's six expressions of surrender. So that when one is dedicating his house to the proprietorship of the Lord and establishing the Lord as the center and proprietor of the house, that takes a good degree of realization, and conviction, which must have, if you haven't done much hearing this life, then it must have come from last life. have that kind of conviction, determination to arrange one's life and house in such a way. But if one is in that mood of surrender and dedicating, and then and just thinking of the Lord constantly like that, thinking of one particular form over and over again, that's a type of perfection in one sense. That's called Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. Prahlad Maharaj, he was always thinking of the form of the Lord Vishnu. Of course, Lord Vishnu always manifested to protect him and save him, and ultimately came as Nrisimhadev. So that itself is a pretty high level of bhakti. But this is the... it's just showing how much power there is in always thinking of the Lord, meditating on a particular form. And the main thing is not to emphasize that we shouldn't do any sadhana, just think of the Lord, and everything will be right. The main point, the thrust here, the section of third canto of Bhagavatam, text 6 through 10, and then text 11 through 13 is actually emphasizing the Lord's reciprocation. It's more on the Lord's side rather than our lazy side. So we, because he even says here in this verse 11, it says that once that devotee's heart is cleansed by hearing the Lord mercifully manifests that exact form which the devotee's always thought of him. But it's saying hearing, purification, then revelation. So it's not that just by thinking of the Lord in your heart. That's good, of course, and that will purify you, but hearing. Here, Brahma is saying that hearing is also required. You see, it says you see the Lord by the process of hearing. This hearing purifies the heart. Once the heart is purified, then the Vishuddha Sattva can then act there. The Vasudeva energy of Vasudeva. Vishuddha Sattva means Vasudeva consciousness. Vasudeva. Pure transcendental goodness. So the heart has to be elevated and brought, cultivated to that quality of purity. It's that purity which ultimately attracts the Lord. And the Lord is attracted to the purity of the heart. So that's accomplished most quickly by Shravanam, Shrutekshita. It says Shrutekshita, by the process of Shruti, by hearing. So it is that one does ultimately, although it shows the power of simply thinking of Him, but to get to the point of always thinking of Him, then one has to become purified. Yes. So you can't avoid Shravanam Kirtanam.
Yes.
So you can't avoid Vaidhi Sadhana or Bhakti Yoga. But because this section is simply emphasizing the principle of that love, anugraha, love is, because we have no qualification, but we're lovingly attached, so we're somehow attached. We don't know, we're not so austere, we don't have so much power of austerities, we don't have so much knowledge, but we have some devotion. And we want to always remember the Lord and think of the Lord. So the Lord becomes, Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotees. That's what's being shown in this verse, a very important verse, 3, 9, 11. That's what Vishnath is saying in his purport to text 11. Devotees, however, even without knowledge, crossed over the ocean of birth and death. From this verse, it is clear that by devotion, these devotees make you subservient. But how they got that bhakti? Bhakti comes from bhakti. So bhakti comes from a devotee. And bhakti comes from last life's purva samskaras and practice with devotion. So what else?
Meditating on the Supreme Lord, and later it's like when the devotee is also meditating on the form that the form that he is going to serve, the Supreme Lord, mm-hmm. is revealed through the name and through the Guru.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my situation is concerned, like Anarthanivritti, it's like a very long name. It's like it doesn't seem like it's ending in the mind. So how should one tackle the situations and be more and more sincere in daily sadhana so that they become at least somewhere or the other sincere in the eyes of this guru?
Well, we just go on. That's called avyas, yoga avyas, sadhana, daily practice. Because that seems so vast and so far, the ocean of anartha nivritti. But as we steadily practice, then the ocean starts to dry up. And it starts to decrease in depth. It's not so deep and not so vast. And we see that. We see that the ocean is shrinking. The ocean is shrinking before our eyes. Our lust is diminishing. Our greed is diminishing. Our anger is diminishing. Our envious nature is diminishing. There's something good arising within our heart. Some purity, some attachment, genuine attachment to Krishna, hearing about Him and serving His devotees and serving Him. So we see the result, and that result gives us encouragement to go further. So this is how it works. Slow and steady wins the race. Or fast and steady, you win the race. Race faster. Steadily run faster. Steadily run faster and faster. Chant 16 rounds, and then 20 rounds, and 32 rounds. Read a half hour, then 1 hour, then 2 hours. Steady at one point, and then go on to the next point, and then become steady at that point, and go on to the next point. Ever-increasing steadiness, ever-increasing devotion, ever-increasing purity, and subsequent or consequent increasing attachment and revelation from the Lord and perception of the Lord. And that creates more enthusiasm. It's like you have some thought, oh, that girl in school, she's very nice, and it would be nice if I got some relationship with her. I don't know how it's possible. It's where I am and where she is. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going down the street and there's a car on the street and has a flat tire, and there's some lady standing there. So let me help that car. So then you pull over. You don't know if you'll see some lady backside or whatever. Then you go out and say, may I help you? And the lady turns around. Oh my God, it's that lady. That's the same lady from school. So yeah, I can help you fix your flat tire. And then she said, and then you sit, and then you talk to her. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, some arrangement was made. So you became more closer to that person. Got to speak with them, and then so then you speak to them, but then you're too shy. You don't want to, because of culture and shyness and some not very aware or familiar, so you don't want to just ask for a phone number. So he said, anyway, and then you just say, well, nice to meet you, and bye, and you go. You think, wow, now I thought about her, and I'll just see the coincidence, and I got to meet her. And then again, a month goes by, and then some other incident. Again, you cross paths and meet her again, and then pretty soon you get to know more and more interaction, and you end up marrying the girl. After a few years, who knows how it goes. High school, a schoolmate becomes life mate, soulmate. It happens like that. You never can understand. So it's like this. Krishna, at first, he's a very distant, loving relationship. We have some vague idea. We saw him at a distance. He looked attractive, but we didn't really know much. Then we got a little closer and got a little glimpse. And then maybe a few words, or somehow we got some tap on the shoulder. Or he gave some reciprocation, gave us a maha plate or something. Out of nowhere, somebody said, hey, you, come here, sit down and take some maha. Wow, I was just standing in a temple and I was praying to the deities, and please, I don't know how, you're so far away with all the gopis and I'm down here, and how will I ever, my prayers ever reach you? And of course, Bhaktivinoda says prayers reach the Lord by Sharanagati. Everyone can pray to the Lord, like everyone can send a letter to the Prime Minister, but not everyone gets a reply. Every Indian can write a letter and send it, dear Prime Minister, New Delhi, Rastapati, or whatever his address is. But how many people get a reply? Some people. But if on the outside of your letter you write Bill Gates or President of America or something. So if the outside of our letter says Sharanagata, Sharanagata Atma, surrendered soul, Sharanagata, Sharanagata. This is a prayer from a surrendered soul. Let me read his letter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if someone is actually Sharanagata, he's actually surrendered, and the Lord hears his prayers directly and reciprocates. Direct line, hotline to the Lord. So we're standing in front of the deity and we're praying, oh Shamsundara, you're so far away, you're in Vrindavan and I'm in Maya. And if you could somehow reciprocate with me and encourage me. I don't know how. Of course, I'm not deserving, but I'm really trying my best. Anyway, whatever. You're just praying. And then some pujari comes and says, excuse me, did you have lunch yet? And he said, no. So why don't you come to my room and you take some rajbhog? And he said, okay. And he said, Jai Shamsundara. And then they close the curtains and Krishna takes rest. Then you go to the room and you take them off or something. So then you may consider that was some type of reciprocation. Because you've been to the temple so many times and so many times you stand there, no one ever asks you to come to the room and take Mahaprasadam. But then that happened. So everything happens by the will of the Lord, arrangement of the Lord. So if we're a little bit sensitive, not too dull, then we can perceive that, yes, my Lord, you reciprocated. And so that increases our enthusiasm to surrender more and try more. So in this way, Krishna personally induces, or rather reciprocates and encourages all his devotees and worshippers to go forward more and more and to try harder and harder and surrender more and more in the cause of his service, his loving service.